this message is a walk through your new Bible. So I'll go back over this again when you receive your Bible. And as of today, Sabbath the 24th of May, the Bibles will be shipped tomorrow, which is Monday China time, and it will take about 20 days to get to Oakland. So we're probably looking at about 30 to 35 days and you'll receive your Bible. But I want you to have this message before it comes, so when you get it, you can take the Bible and listen to it and go through it, because this is a presentation I'm doing for the fellowship group in Fairfield. Now, when you get your Bible, you can open it from the mailing box. So to protect your Bible, we have put it in double mailing box in addition to the presentation box. So when you get the presentation box, turn it upside down, and you will be able to remove the shrink wrap. Then you turn it right side up and lift the front top off, and you will see the Bible with a little yellow ribbon and also a printout how to mark your Bible. So what you do is you take the yellow ribbon and you lift it up so you can pull the Bible out of the box. It's a lift-out ribbon. That's why it's there. Now, before we get to the inside of the Bible, what I want you to do is take the bottom of the presentation box and turn it over. And we're going to read explanation about this Bible. And one of the very major reasons why it was done. Now, as you will read in the commentary, as you did in the New Testament, one of the pioneers in this day and age to have the Bible printed in its original order was Dr. Ernest Martin. And I knew him from Ambassador College, and we were friends through the years after the difficulties within the church. And when he found out that I was doing a New Testament, I told him, and I would communicate with him by phone, by the way, and I told him that I was going to do it in the original order with commentary and things like this. Now, Dr. Martin is a good historian. However, through the years, he strayed from the Bible understanding when it gets to prophecy and things like this. But he was very, very good with the text, very, very good with understanding about the preservation of the Bible and so forth. So you will see extensive quotes in the commentary from Dr. Martin's book, Restoring the Original Bible. Now, that started out in 1991 with Dr. Martin wanted someone else to do it and not himself, so he had James Tabor, who would do the translating in the Hebrew and the Greek, who used to be a professor at HC, and Robert Kuhn, who used to be an advisor to one of the top officials in worldwide. And then they had Bob Ellsworth, who was also a personal friend of mine who lives in Pasadena. You'll hear a little more about that on one of the other tapes concerning the Bible. Anyway, he was in charge of collecting offerings from those people beginning in 1991 who wanted to fund the original Bible project. And it never really got off the ground in 16 years. The book of Genesis was translated in what was called a transparent translation, which was really only for a very small, narrow margin of readers that would be doctors of theology and things like this. So it was not a practical translation for the average person. Through the years, they collected on an average of $100,000 a year to do the project. Never got done, so in 2003, we published the New Testament in its original order. And just before it went off to publication, I talked to Dr. Martin personally for about 45 minutes on the phone, about the New Testament, and he said, wish we could have the whole Bible, because he was very discouraged with the slowness of things done by James Tabor and Robert Kuhn. Actually, Robert Kuhn never did anything on it. It was James Tabor, and he got sidetracked on archaeological projects in Israel. And so we had quite a conversation, and he also, at that time, encouraged me to please work toward doing a whole Bible. I said, well, I don't know if I can do that. We'll have to see. But as it turned out, he died 2 weeks later. So I was glad to have that conversation with him and so forth. So now, with the help of especially Michael Heiss, who we hired as our Hebrew consultant, Old Testament Hebrew consultant, who went to the Hebrew Union Theological College and University of Judaica before coming to Ambassador College, and he's thoroughly grounded in all the Hebrew. And when our plans for using the modern KJV for the Old Testament went awry from the fact that it would have to be so thoroughly changed that we might as well start from scratch and do our own, and so that's when we hired Michael Heiss to do the finalizing of it. And in doing the Old Testament, I went through with the knowledge that I had, which is very minimal, but I used all the tools available and compared it with about 15 different translations of the Old Testament. And then that's what I gave to Michael Heiss. Then Michael Heiss went through every word and brought the translation a real, finished, knowledgeable presentation for the Old Testament. So this is why it is called rendition/translation. And very happy with it, and we'll cover some of the scriptures concerning it. So that brings us up to where now when I read this for you, I want you to follow along on the explanation on the back of the presentation box, why this Bible. You hold in your hands an extraordinary Bible, unique in two ways. First, the Holy Bible in its original order is the only Bible ever published that accurately follows the God-inspired manuscript order of all the books of the Old and New Testaments. In addition, once the original order of the 49 biblical books has been restored, the 7 divisions of the Bible are also reestablished. The Old Testament contains the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings. The New Testament contains the Gospels and Acts, the General Epistles, the Epistles of Paul, and the Book of Revelation. With this restoration, God's purposeful design of the Scriptures begins to unfold, revealing His divine inspiration. The Bible is not a collection of mythological fables conceived by human minds. Rather, holy men of God spoke and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1:21. As Paul wrote, all Scripture is God-breathed, and thus it reflects the mind of Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. It is the truth of God from the God of truth who cannot lie. It is His personal revelation to mankind, the pinnacle of His creation, whom He made in His own image. From Genesis to Revelation, God reveals His awesome eternal plan and purpose to those who love and obey Him. Now you see, what we have condensed in here is a tremendous amount of information. This is a lot of information here. The right order of the books, the number of the books, the divisions of the Bible, the inspiration of the Bible in the face of everything that we have today, they're throwing it out, so forth, and we have new Gospels coming out, which are just updated versions of Gnostic teachings from ancient times. You see, in saying a lot of things here, this is to counteract a lot of the charges that the Bible is myth, that the Bible was written by men, that the Bible is not from God, that you can do anything you want to do, and that the newest gospel coming out as being preached by modern evangelicalism and Oprah Winfrey is bringing everything to the lawlessness of ancient Gnosticism, where you become God yourself without anything to do with God. It is just a glorified humanism that is there. So this is the reason why all of these things in these first two paragraphs are there, condensed down. See? And then, where we have it there, from Genesis to Revelation, God reveals his awesome eternal plan and purpose to those who love and obey him. Which says then, if you don't love and obey him, you'll never understand it. So this is really saying, this is why all the so-called Christian religions in the world that have Bibles don't know the plan of God. Now the next paragraph, continuing on. Second, this version is a new translation, a faithful version that reflects the true meaning of the original Hebrew and Greek with fidelity and accuracy, showing the unity of Scripture between the Old and New Testaments. Today, in the face of rampant religious confusion, those who read and study the English Bible deserve an excellency of translation that can be trusted. Reviewer Dan Decker of Bible Editions and Versions, June 2005, writes of the faithful version of the New Testament, "It is an excellent translation for those desiring a literal one. Likewise, the Old Testament rendition faithfully conveys the clear meaning of the Hebrew text." And then we have some explanation of the things that are in there. Now, let's open the Bible. First of all, I want to read you a little email I got yesterday. This is from Harry and Cindy Curley, and Cindy Curley is the one who did all the artwork for the presentation box, as well as all of the artwork on all of the books that we have. What we do, I have certain ideas, convey them to her, and she puts them together, and that's how we have come up with all the covers to the books, which each one is unique in itself. And I sent them their Bibles last week. And he writes, "Dear Fred, the box of the Bibles arrived Wednesday. We appreciate getting them. I expected them to look great, but you cannot imagine how nice they are until you actually see one." Now, here we have lambskin cover. So while you look at the front of it with the gold stamping, turn to the back and you will see right at the bottom, genuine handcrafted lambskin. Now back to the front of the lambskin Bible. When you feel the lambskin, it is really high quality, very nice and smooth, and you will see that it is hand-stitched all the way around. And if you look at the gold stamping on it, you will see that it contains all the wording that we have on the front of the presentation box. So we want this to be especially appealing, to be attractive, to be a Bible that will draw a person into it so that he or she will want to read it. And then you will notice the logo that we have on front here. Old Testament from the Hebrew, New Testament from the Greek, "Your word is the truth," and a Bible there. Now, we are going to take the basis of this logo, and we're going to update all the church literature logos using this, only with Christian Biblical Church of God. So we will have some consistency. This will be our identification, if you can put it that way. All right. Now you open it up. As soon as you open the leather cover, you are going to find a bookmarker. And that bookmarker gives you the page number for all the books, Old and New Testament, so you will be able to quickly find them, because you're going to realize once you're into it that especially the order of the books in the Old Testament is vastly different from what you're used to in the King James Version of the Bible. Now, you turn the next page and you come to the presentation page. And the next eight pages you will see as we go through it are heavier than the and thicker than the paper for the Bible. This is done to strengthen the binding and also to ensure that the binding will last. We not only have it stitched in each of the 74 signatures, we also have it end stitched, and then we have it hot glued and reinforced. So that's why the spine is quite firm at the end. Now, this is because a Bible is intended to be used by the people we are in contact with, especially almost every day, to read and to study. So, presentation page. Then turn to the next one, and again, just like on the back of the presentation box, we have a message to convey to the reader. So we have, first of all, the Ten Commandments of God. Now that's important to have in a society today that is given over to lawlessness, and important to have for those people who suppose that the commandments have been done away, which they have not, and anyone who believes that believes a lie. So, in order to blend in together the unity of Scripture, what I did was put up here from Matthew 22:36-40, which is the great commandment of the law. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second one is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." In other words, the message here is, if you believe in the love of God and you want to love God, then all the law and the prophets hang from that. In other words, the love of God supports and is the basis for the commandments, the law, and the prophets. So then we have the commandments out of Exodus 20, and if anyone will read it, you will find those are not difficult to understand. And as a matter of fact, when you look at all the problems that are in the world today, this is what needs to be taught. And most of the heathen nations, including the Islamic nations, understand nothing about loving neighbor. And I got an email from some people who traveled to Egypt, and they were so glad to get back to America where the people were decent and had some kind of concern, because everyone was just vicious, hateful, aggressive. The country was dirty, filthy, polluted, and everyone seeking his own. So now if that offends some Muslims, well then, you know, check out and see how your countries really are. And ask yourself, why did you come to America then, if you want to keep those kind of standards? All right, now let's go on. So there's a reason for every one of this. Now, lest someone thinks that the laws of God are not good, we have Psalm 19 on the next page. The perfect law of God. Now, what is it that man likes to do? Make his own laws, but when he builds things and does things, what is his ultimate objection? Perfection. Right? And isn't that the motto for Lexus? Striving for perfection. If you have something that is perfect, would you do away with it? I just imagine if you had 10,000 perfect, minted, gold coins, you wouldn't throw them in the city dump, would you? No, but that's what people do with the law of God, which is perfect. So there's a message here. The law of God is perfect, restoring the soul. Now, the King James says converting, but law does not convert. The Holy Spirit of God converts. The law restores your standing to God. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. And moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Doesn't sound like you want to do away with that. Then we have selected verses from Psalm 119. So we'll read just a couple of those. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. So you're blessed of keeping the commandments, not cursed. Verse 18. Open my eyes so that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And then you expand that to the whole Word of God. The next one. I will run the way of your commandments, not throw them out. Give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. So that ties right in with what Jesus said here, right? Yes, loving God. Now let's turn the page. Lest someone think we're an Old Testament church, we have the Beatitudes and Blessings. And so all of these are out of the New Testament. So we start out with, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we end up with, Blessed are those who keep his commandments, that they may have the right to eat of the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. So we're showing start of conversion, the end result, eternal life. Now, so someone doesn't think that we don't know about the love of God. We have the next page, the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. Now let me just stop here and explain this, why it's different than the King James Version. Now I'll read this in the King James Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, now when you read that, that sounds like a done deal, doesn't it? However, that does not reflect the Greek. The Greek is not in the present tense as a fact just based upon belief. It is in the subjunctive in the Greek. Now, the subjunctive is most generally translated with if, or in this case, may. Because this King James Version has led to the misnomer of a lot of Protestant preachers saying, once you accept Jesus into your heart, it's a done deal, and you can never lose salvation. Not so. Because you read in other parts of the Bible concerning what? The unpardonable sin. So it is, may not perish. That is, if you love God and obey and are faithful to the end, see? But may have everlasting life, provided that you live your life in faithfulness the way God wants. And that's very important. Then we follow it with that, continuing now on the love of God page. If you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. The one who has my commandments and is keeping them, that is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Very important. See? Because conversion comes through a calling of God and Christ interacting in your life and the Father interacting in your life. And as I mentioned before, it is not a 12-step program to improve your human nature. It is a calling to eternal life, and the Bible is our textbook to study for eternal life. And it's the Spirit of God that gives us understanding. It is the Spirit of God that leads us in every way. Now, turn to the next page. We have the overview of the entire temple area. Turn to the next page, and this is the eighth page, the temple and the burnt offering altar. Now, this is the second temple depicted in Jerusalem before it was destroyed by the Romans. Then we have the beginning of the Bible, and you will notice the paper. Now just take the paper and just run your fingers down, and you will see how nice that paper is. This paper is special French Bible paper. Very expensive, designed to mark. That's why we have the how to mark your Bible, what kind of pens and so forth you need. And also, if you are going to transfer notes from your old Bible, what you need to do, you need to get, say, like a Manila folder file and where, for 8.5 by 11, and where it's folded, just cut it and then stick that behind the page that you are going to transfer the notes to and mark it down. And then you will preserve the paper better. It will not leave indentions in on the other side, etc. Now, some people think this Bible is too beautiful to mark in, but it was designed to be used to mark in. So, like one person said, well, I held off marking the Bible until I started marking it, and said, now you ought to see it. See, okay? So this tells you what kind of pens, what kind of things to use. Okay? Now let's go a little further in here, and you will see that there are three table of contents. First one is for the front part of the Bible. The next one is for the Old and New Testaments. And the third one is for the appendices and chronologies. So we have chronology, history of the writing of the Old Testament, transmission of the Old Testament, chronology from 30 to 70 A.D., 67 to 1611 A.D., and all of the commentaries that we have. Most of them are from the New Testament, the appendices. Some of them have been shortened, so on our digital version for the commentaries, which are in the front part of the Bible, as well as the appendices, which are in the back part of the Bible, we are going to put the Bible on a CD where you will have PDF pages for Old and New Testament, for all the commentary, for all the appendices. And the PDF will give you an exact duplication of every page that is in the Bible. Then we will have the Old and New Testament broken down into the, remember the narrow column translation that we did on the study translations years ago? We're going to have a column about that wide, and the whole Bible is going to be in Word doc, with those, with that column length, so that for those who desire to write or compare scriptures, it will be very easy to go there and cut and paste. In addition, for the electronic digital version, we're going to put the added commentary that from the New Testament that we could not put in the Bible. As we had, this is 1,410 pages. And we couldn't put it all in, so what we are going to do, we're going to have the Old Testament chronology or not Old Testament chronology, but we're going to have the commentary from the Bible, then the longer commentary that was in the New Testament. For example, the tribute to William Tyndale in the Bible is about 3 pages long. In the New Testament, it is nearly 20 pages long. So you will have both of those in the digital version. Plus, Harry Curley is going to show me a version of the CD version we're already working on with, I think it is, eSword. And so that is supposed to make it very easy in comparing different scriptures from different Bibles and so forth. And also I might mention this, as I have any others, so I'll just mention it here. Bob Ellsworth is going to be our broker to sell them to distributors to get them out to the public. And as I mentioned on some of the other messages that I brought concerning the Bible, we hope that it will be successful enough that there will be enough income from that will pay for all future versions of printing the Bible. When you put all the time together in doing the New Testament and the Old Testament and the translation and the commentaries and so forth, we're looking at about, from 1991, that's not counting the study and things like that and learning the Greek through the years from 74 to 91, because 91 is when I started translating the New Testament, but to doing the translation and the commentary, from 91 to 2008, you're looking at 18 years inclusive counting. Now let's come to Roman numeral number 10. So just turn the pages and come to the Roman numeral page number 10. While you're turning to Roman numeral page number 10, I'll just comment on Will Tomry's foreword. It is good to have someone not associated with the church who is highly educated in the field of English and is a college professor to have his evaluation of it, so that people will not say, oh, this is just like the Jehovah Witness Bible, see. Now, Roman numeral page number 10, why are there so many Bibles in the world? And I think I mailed that out to you in the letter, but suffice to say, wherever the Bible has been distributed, it contains the gospel. And it is there. And as we have learned, the United Bible Societies out of England has undertaken a 10-year contract with a printing company in eastern China to produce 800,000 Bibles a year, and it's right smack in the center of all of those countries, if you will look at a globe, that have not had the Word of God. And I think that's going to be God's warning to all of those people east of Mesopotamia, clear over to Japan, and north of that and south of that. Because God isn't going to do anything unless there is a witness, and the witness does not take place until His Word is out there and then it's preached. Now, turn to the next page. After that, Roman numeral page number 12. And here is a photo out of the Harmony, which then is the Holy Land from Apollo 7. Now, the reason we have the commentary and the appendices, especially in the first edition of the Bible, not separated from the Bible, is because nearly every first edition of a Bible has that, beginning with the King James Version. I've got an actual facsimile reprint of the original King James Version of the Bible, 1611. And it's about 9 inches high, about 9 inches thick, 16 inches high, and about 10 inches wide. And it's got all kinds of commentary in there. So later, we can take and put it into two volumes with a commentary volume to go along with the Bible. And then when we do that, then we can have the Bible with just a little bit of commentary. But you cannot all of a sudden come out with the Bible and say it's the only one that has ever been printed in the original order in the history of Bible printing when there have been so many billions of Bibles printed. So you have to explain about this Bible. How did it have its incorrect order from the original order? So we explain all of that. And the long and short of it is that the Catholic Church, through using the Septuagint and redoing the books of the Bible through Jerome, has had its hook into every Bible produced in the world. So this Bible is the first one that says, no, 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 we're going to get rid of that hook. And we're going to say why he did it this way. And why the original order is what we need and how it is done. Okay? So we have that. Then let's come to regular number page 9, chapter 2. And I think you're going to find this very, very interesting when you read it. Now, you're going to find when you read the commentaries and you read the appendices that they are very intense and that there is a lot of detailed information contained in as few words as possible. And you're going to find that, especially with this chapter, God's Divine Design of the Holy Bible and its Numeric Connection. So let's turn to page number 10, and I explain about the significance of biblical numbers and start with 1 and go all the way through 50. And each one of these is just a summary. Now, I got most of this from the book Bible Mathematics by Velo, and then I have some others that I put in there designated by B and C. Now, what is important with the numeric connections and the numbers in the Bible is this. All those numbers go through all translations of the Bible. So this is not something like the hidden Hebrew code of the Old Testament. You heard it say the biblical code or the Hebrew code. And what that is a computer program set to measure out the number of letters where they are in Hebrew in the Old Testament and to get the frequency of those letters together combined with other letters. And what they have a probable hit. If they used only an exact hit, they would not have any case at all. But with a probable hit, they have a fudge factor of from 3 to 5 on either side of the letter that it falls upon. So, you know, that's like triple entry bookkeeping. You know, or bookkeeping that is, what I like is ESP. And here's double entry bookkeeping, and the certified accountant is looking it over to approve it, and he asks the bookkeeper, he says, what is this ESP account? And it seems to be one of the largest of all. Oh, and the bookkeeper replied, that means error someplace. So this is how we balance the books. There's an error someplace. So everything that is presented in the biblical numerics is a fraud because of the fudge factor in trying to determine it. So they can make it read Adolf Hitler and, you know, you've seen all of these things on maybe History Channel or so forth. But all the numbers that are here are actual biblical numbers. Now, some of these can be verified in Bullinger's, although we did not use Bullinger's for any of this. Though we have Bullinger's as a reference in the bibliography, we did not rely on Bullinger's, but a very, very little. Bullinger has a lot of information. He does very, very good, but he has some that are off the wall as well. For example, one of the things that he has concerning the crucifixion of Christ, he's got two thieves on one side and two on the other with Christ in the middle. Now then, we go into the seven divisions of the Bible. That becomes important because we have 49 books in the Bible. Okay? We have 22 in the Old Testament. By the way, all the minor prophets are one book. And all of the minor prophets compared together are less in number of pages than the book of Isaiah. So there are 22 books of the Old Testament, 27 books of the New Testament, which comes out 49, which is 7 completeness times 7. So you have completeness times completeness equals 49. And it's very interesting that in the division of the books of the Bible, the book of Revelation is the seventh division, one book for the seventh division, which tells us, as we have known through the years, that it requires knowledge of all of the Bible in order to understand it. And you cannot understand the plan of God and the fulfilling of the holy days without the book of Revelation. You must have those. So the numeric connection is very important. Then we have chapter 3, canonization of the Old Testament. We expanded that out considerably from what we had in the New Testament. But let's understand something here that's very, very important. Let's hold your place here. Now, I might also say, since I'm telling you to hold your place, that we have two ribbon markers, one gold and one black. So you might want to take one of those ribbons and put it here so you can mark your place. So we'll give you a working example of that. Okay? And let's come to Romans, the 3rd chapter in the New Testament. Let's go to the next track, please.